produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. The sugar and spice. I feel. Sugar and spice.
Welcome, welcome, and this is Imaja Jubilee coming to you all the way from Malaga, Spain, with a very, very special guest. And as always, we want to for you to remember that you have just landed in love. And to remember that you were made in love, by love, for love, to be love. And remembering with all of that, remembering what your divine purpose is and our divine purpose is and what we carry out to the world. Everybody takes notice of what you do and how you do it. So we try to remember and we reinforce that you influence, encourage, and inspire others to continue on this journey called life and be the best version of themselves that they can be. And being the best version of themselves that they can be, that remembers that they have to remember that they were made in this magnificently marvelous way and carved by the master creator of the universe. And they have to remember also that they are who they are because we have a master artist that put us all together. And we're so thankful for this day, and we're thankful for waking up this morning, and we're thankful for now being in the moment. As I said before, we are sitting. This is coming to you from Malaga, Spain, and we are sitting here at the dining room table with none other than the goddess of soul, who has a decade that spans over five, has a career that spans over five decades. She has been around the world touring and doing lots of great things with her music and just being her wonderful, personable self. She's a God-fearing woman. She has many, many, many different stories that I'm sure you will get to hear doing our special with our special guest. You notice I haven't called her name yet because I want you to recognize by all the things that I'm saying about her who she is. And she's known the world over. And she's known the world over because she has had this music in her bones and in her veins and her vessels since she was a young child, like most of all of us do. We start out very, very young, not knowing exactly what the talent that God gives us and how it's going to lead us in the world. Mm-hmm. But it's led this wonderful lady to many different places. And she has graced the stage with so many great people, such as Bo Diddley, B.B. King, and Michael Jackson. And she was also in the movie called the Blues Brothers movies as well. As I said before, and the other main thing that she has done, she learned a lot of things from one of the legends, the great legends of funk music, none other than the godfather of soul himself, Mr. James Brown. She learned a lot from him. And ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, I want you to just sit where you are and in your minds and with your hands, imagine giving room well, loudly applauding in your heart with the love to welcome to our show, Miss Martha High.
Hello, good evening, bonsoir, bonjour, and all of that other good stuff.
That's wonderful. We are so glad to have her with us today. And we're going to do some chatting about what has happened in this wonderful lady's life to make her the woman that she is. And we consider Ms. High a sister sitting in the blessings. We really do. And I just want, as I always do, read you a poem, that particular poem, Sister Sitting in the Blessings, and then we're going to go into a discussion with Ms. High about how she's sitting in the blessings, where she's come from, and how she came to realize just how blessed she is. And here's the poem. We are sisters sitting in the blessings all around us in this space and in this place right now. Sisters, proud to be who we are, aware of our struggles that have brought us to this very moment. Sisters who are mindful of those who have walked this path before us, our moms, grandmothers, aunts, and cousins who made their own way that we might reap the benefits of their struggles and their suffering. Miss Lene Davis, Aunt Fleeta Overton, my mother Marie Harris Brown, and a host of others who taught us at their knees and from their knees, the sharing their prayers and the lessons that they had learned. Sisters who have been willing to uncover, discover, and heal the darkness, the pain, the grief, and the sorrow from every nook and every cranny in our souls so that we can allow the truth to unfold and willingly told, and we can joyfully and be joyful and whole. Sisters who refuse to be beat up, told to sit down and shut up now. We refuse to allow anything to hold us back and to be put down by guilt and shame never again. Sisters who recognize those that would harm her and defame her to keep her from her divine inheritance. Notice I said divine inheritance. The divine inheritance of an abundant life. Sisters who are educated, motivated, each brimming with their own brilliance, and each knowing that there is no need to tear one another down because each of us is blessed with a different gift and talent. And so together, we can all shout, hallelujah, and we can dance all around. We can do my mom's holy dance. Sisters who can support each other through each rite of passage, moon cycles, birth cycles, growth cycles, wisdom cycles, and yes, death cycles, homocycles, and bicycles rolling together along through this journey we call life. We're sisters sitting in the blessings. Sisters coming together in circles all around the world, all around this beautiful earth. And we hold each other's hand. We sit in the silence so that we can help each other heal the scars and the wounds that are not always visible to the naked eye. Sisters who, once they heal themselves, can act as midwives to others to be by their sides so that they can learn to do the same and aid the release of trouble and deep-seated pain. Sisters who are not ashamed of who they are, where they have been, and share their stories, but keenly aware they know where they are going. Sisters who know that life is just what you make it, and it's like a dance, and life can teach you its flow, merging with the beats and the rhythms there's a painful produced by each soul. Sisters who can dance and celebrate and appreciate all the grace, the mercy, the bounty, and the blessings which the Creator has so graciously bestowed upon us individually and collectively. When it's all said and done, we can then stand up and we can declare ourselves to be what we've always been. Sisters sitting in the blessings. And so it is. Now, Miss Hyde did commentary on my book when I first started publishing that. So she has knowledge of what this poem is all about. And I would like for you, Miss Hyde, just to elaborate on your impressions as I read through this and when you read through it about how you are a sister from where you've come from. Let's start with where you've come from. I know you were born in Victoria, Virginia.
Yes. I was born in Victoria, Virginia, but actually raised in Washington, D.C. And I still, even though I lived most of my life in D.C., I would go back and forth up to Victoria, Virginia during the summer times after school was closed. Something like the second day I come out of school, my mother would send me back to Victoria, Virginia to stay with my grandmother for the summer. So that was always, I always felt that was a blessing because mm-hmm. like you said, we learn from our elders, we learn our parents and our forefathers, foremothers, you know, that was before us.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot from her. I know what it is to grow your own foods and know the difference and what was right and wrong because my grandmother, you know, she taught me how to cook and how to grow things and how to appreciate, you know, just living. And it was a difference in living in the country, a difference living in the city. So it meant a lot. And I remembered all the things and mostly all the things that my grandmother taught me. And I was able to appreciate going back to the country during the summers and learn how to grow tobacco and how to string up tobacco.
Yeah.
And then even in the summer times, you know, living in the country, we had bathrooms outside.
Yeah, we had an outhouse.
Also, that would make me appreciate how nice it was to have a bathroom on the inside as well. But these things learn you also that living in the country and learning from my grandmother, it learns you how to survive.
Yeah.
And don't take things for granted.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's why it's such a blessing. It's a gift. You know, a lot of us don't like looking back. We want to forget the roots from which you came.
That's right.
But, you know, growing up, and I too grew up in a rural, very, very rural area. Mm-hmm. But like you said, I knew how to make a meal out of nothing. I knew how to make a meal out of nothing.
That's right.
And if need be, I knew how to sew and make my clothes, too.
Exactly. I watched my grandmother, make biscuits from raw flour.
Yeah, right.
And things like that. And you said, that's right, you can make a meal out of anything.
Yes, right. You make a meal. Make a meal out of nothing.
So growing up
like that, when was your first inclination about that you had this gift with your voice?
Well, that came when I was in my teens, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, even though when I was younger, I was in the junior choir.
Okay.
And my church in Washington, D.C. My mother, you know, she was very adamant about us going to Sunday school on Sundays, you know. And I thought it was a good thing because I loved singing. And I didn't really feel like I had a voice, but I just loved singing around the house.
Okay.
You know, learning the songs that I learned in church. And
so what was the first song you sung in church?
What was it? God, oh dear, what's the name of that song?
It'll come to you.
Many years ago.
It'll come to you.
Yeah, but I remember the name. That's right, it'll come to me. But oh my goodness!
Let's move on to something else.
It'll come to me just like that. Yeah.
So you started singing in the church,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of the artists that we all know and appreciate, like Sam Cooke, you know, and a lot of more that I could name, you know, because he started out singing gospel music first before he switched to secular music. And a lot of the other great legends that we know, like Otis Redding and a lot of the other people, came from the same background of church background.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
All right.
For the Bible tells me so.
So you got that. You got that. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yep. And we had to learn that song in Sunday school.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, Jesus loved me. You learned about Christ's love at an early age.
At an early age. And you know, and I thank God for, like I said, my grandmother and my parents, because they were church-going people. And I think that if, not saying that you have to be in church, but it was a wonderful thing to be a part of going back and forth to church and learning about Jesus Christ and everything. And I think that when you know and you're taught from home.
Oh, taught from home.
And from your elders, knowing and telling you that and letting you know and learning from the Bible and from your Sunday school classes that Jesus is a part of your life.
Yes, yes.
You will remember that. That will stay in the back of your head.
Even when you go out into the world,
When you go out into the world, because even when I started singing and traveling, it wasn't a time that I could go to church every Sunday.
Right.
Because I was out on the road for 2 and 3 months, especially when I joined the Godfather of Soul. So, no, I wasn't able to go to church. But every once in a while that we were at in a town or in a city that we could maybe go to the local church around, because in the 60s when I first joined James Brown, we didn't stay in the Holiday Inns and the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And places like that. We stayed in the local and the community black hotels that were very small hotels, and the church maybe would have been right around the corner. So if we were off or had time, we would go to church and try to, you know, and enjoy that. But it wasn't all the time, like I said. But also, I still remember, you know, what I learned in church, and I could feel like, okay, I should be in church. But I said my prayers.
You said your prayers.
I said my prayers.
Yeah. Did you? What was the first prayer? Did you learn? Did your parents teach you, Lord, now lay me down to sleep?
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I think every parent must have taught their child.
I'm sure.
That's the first prayer that I learned, besides the Lord's Prayer. And we had to get down on our knees and say, and Mama came in and watched and made sure that you said your prayers before you went to bed.
Absolutely, because, my mother would come in there and make sure that I would say the correct words. You know, she'd sit and say your prayers, and she'd sit right there. And sometimes she would repeat it with me if I forgot it or something like that. But she, if she didn't come in there and watch me or be there with me, she would peep her head and did you say your prayers before you got into bed?
Yeah.
So that was, like I said, all of that stayed with me. Yes, and it was an automatic thing for me to get on my knees to pray.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't realize how strong prayer was.
Oh, you didn't realize it?
Not at a young age.
Yeah.
And, you know, becoming a teenager and then going out into the world and everything, you get a little excited.
And I'm saying that like I knew that at age. Yeah. I didn't either.
Yeah. Exactly. But then there comes a time when you say, okay, wait a minute, you know, I got to grow up and you can't do all of the worldly things. I'm going to put it like this. At one point of my life as a singer, and I met the Temptations. And I said this in my book, and I will never, ever forget it because it meant so much to me. Paul Williams of the Temptations pulled me to the side one time and said, why are you trying to go to every party that goes on? And I said, what do you mean? I said, I just want to have fun like everybody else. He said, yeah, but that's not good. He said, that's not good. He said, you don't want to become known to be a party girl. He said, that will follow you the rest of your life.
Okay.
And he pointed out a young lady that, you know, that was in the music business. He said, everybody talks about her. You don't want that to happen. And you know what? I went to my room and I sat down and I thought, I was like, oh my gosh. No, I don't want everybody talking about me and saying that I'm a party girl, because I'm not a party girl. At least I didn't think I was. And I don't want nobody to look at me like that. I didn't want anyone to look at me like that, you know. So I took heed to what he said, and I stopped going to all the parties that was going around. Yeah.
So God took care of you through someone else.
Oh, yes, he did.
Gave a reminder of, hey, through someone else.
That's right.
And that's why sometimes we have to listen to somebody else, because sometimes the enemy can get in the way.
Oh, yeah.
And it blocks mm-hmm. being able to hear what God is trying to say to you.
Exactly. And that's what prayer is all about, is being still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get on your knees and you pray, but it's receiving His word
mm-hmm.
and understanding, you know. When you pray, now I'm going to tell you something. I have gotten on my knees and prayed. You know, when I would go into like a meditation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I wake up maybe 2 or 3 hours later. And I look around and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm still on my knees.
Oh, you're still on your knees.
I'm still on my knees. But you know what? When I would get in the bed, and it's like I had received something.
Yeah.
You know, I had received something from God.
Yeah.
And I went to sleep and slept like a baby.
Right. Resting in that peace.
Yes.
That's created from prayer. There's a stillness. In that stillness comes a peace.
It really is, yes.
So what I hear you saying, we started, you know, with you being born in Victoria. And even though, you know, you got... I know we're going to talk about later how the career in part two of this
mm-hmm.
about your career, but we're talking about the basis of your life. You learned to believe and trust in Jesus Christ at a very early age never forgot it.
No.
In prayer.
No, that's right.
In prayer.
And I have fallen from the wayside.
Yes.
I have, but I picked myself back up, and I know that where my blessings came from and how I was before I got involved with a lot of things, you know. I remember, it always stayed in the back of my head, this is not how you were brought up.
Uh-huh.
This is not where your goals are to be, you know, to forget about everything. So with that in the back of my head, with that knowing that I trust in God and I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, that saved me.
Okay. So y'all hear it all over the world, and you know, we remember, we're sitting here, just to remind you where we're sitting in Spain, and we're talking with this goddess of soul, and that was a name given to her by the godfather of soul, Mr. James Brown. And what she's saying, the basis for her life, she learned about Jesus Christ and about God, and it sustained her, and it still continues to sustain her.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And therefore she is. She's a sister sitting in the blessing.
Yes, I am.
And oftentimes we have to go through these things in order to learn how to be in the next part of our lives.
Exactly.
But you have to have a firm foundation in order to go and be able to do, because you never know what's going to come in a day. Every day is never the same.
That's right. It's not the same. It's a brand new day. It's a day that you've never seen. So you don't know what's going to happen, but you have to stay in prayer. You have to walk and talk and know Jesus, because He's the one that guides you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you... I'm really serious about it. If you don't know Him, you're lost.
You're lost.
You're lost.
Yes.
You're just in the midst of nothing.
Nothingness.
But have Him in the midst of your life and what you're doing.
And you act differently out of your heart, because you act not from your head.
Mm-hmm.
You live from your heart, because that's what a Christness is.
Exactly.
It's in our hearts. It's in our hearts. So we're going to kind of wrap this segment up.
Okay.
We're off to a magnificent start.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And we're going to continue with our discussion with none other than Miss Martha High from Spain. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to be coming right back at you. So Ms. High, if you had one word that would describe the segment that we just did and what you want people to retain from this first segment that we're doing, what would it be?
I would say believe and trust.
Believe and trust. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Believe and trust, because that's what happens when, if you don't trust, you go down the wrong path.
Exactly.
You get led into being and hanging out with the wrong people, doing all the things that are against you being your higher self.
And trust in what you pray for.
Trust in what you pray for.
Yes.
Trust in what you pray for. I have never heard that one, Ms. High.
Yes, trust in your prayers. If you're on your knees and you're asking God to guide you, help you, mm-hmm. don't doubt that.
Don't trust. Doubt. Yeah, oh yeah, okay.
Trust in what you are asking for. And give it, if you give it to him, give it to him and leave it.
What the song would, take your burdens to the Lord and leave him there?
That's right.
Take your burdens to the Lord and leave him there. So when you give something over to the Spirit, you allow it time to work. It takes patience and the trust to go hand in hand
exactly.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do if we don't trust? If we don't trust our Heavenly Father, and if we don't have the Christ in our hearts, mm-hmm. we are nothing.
That's right.
We cannot go through life. We cannot master whatever comes up on a day-to-day
basis. You will always be confused, and you're trying to figure out why. It's because you're not letting God in.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, he's in your heart.
In your heart.
And you have to let him in order to understand, in order to know where you're going.
Yeah. So you can, and let him see where you're going, not you.
No.
Not you. Let him lead the way,
let
right?
Let him lead the way.
What is that song? Lead me, Jesus, lead me. Lead me all the way.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of the rest of the words. The rest of the words are. But we're going to wrap up this segment. And we're going to come back with more. We'll take a little brief interlude here, and we'll be right back in Spain with Miss Martha High, the goddess of soul, who just has expanded her wings through her music to become this wonderful sister sitting in the blessings. And we'll be right back after this brief break. Welcome to the next segment of Love, Light, and Positivity, coming to you from Malaga, Spain, with our special guest, the goddess of soul, Miss Martha High. In the first segment of our show, we introduced her as a sister sitting in the blessings. And she went back and told us how she came to believe and had the conviction to believe in having Jesus Christ in our heart. And the belief and trust was the most important thing. So now we want to take you continuation on this journey as she continues to be a sister sitting in the blessing. So we want to talk to you, Ms. High, and welcome to the second segment.
It's good to be here.
How you got started in the music business in D.C.?
All right. Well, now I have a book called He's a Funny Cat, Miss High,
mm-hmm.
and that tells you my journey from a child into going into school and learn and meeting the girls that I started singing with. But anyway, I can share this with you.
Yes.
In junior high school, I met two young ladies, Zeola Gay and Yvonne Smith.
Zeola Gay was related to Marvin Gaye?
To Marvin Gaye. That was his sister.
Okay.
Yes, that's what it was, little sister. And I'm proud to say I got the chance to meet Marvin Gaye at their home in Washington, D.C. You know, he came home one time. He had Hitchhike.
Oh, yeah.
Out. Yeah, so he had come home. And I remember him coming into the house, and Zeola introduced me and everything. I was like thrilled. But, you know, like I wasn't starstruck because I knew that was Marvin Gaye, and he had a song out, and I was like, wow, this is my girlfriend's brother.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it was really cool to meet him. But anyway, Zeola Gaye and Yvonne Smith and I, we started a group. We met Bo Diddley.
Okay.
And he's the one that started helping us because we started rehearsing at his home in Southeast Washington, D.C. on Rhode Island Avenue.
So how old are you?
I was about 15.
About 15 years old?
Yeah, I was about 15 years old. And I knew that I loved singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew that I wanted to be in a group to sing and everything, but never in the wildest dreams that I would ever believe that this beginning of my singing life would take me into meeting so many musicians and singers through the years, and of course, the Godfather of Soul. So meeting Bo Diddley was a big thing to me then because he was just amazing, you know. And he had several hits out at that time and everything. But he was very, very kind and open to a lot of the musicians in the D.C. area, just like Billy Stewart and Javi Javi Fuqua and the Moonglows.
The Moonglows,
He used to practice and record at his house and his, you know, studio. So I met a lot of people, and Johnny Stewart, Billy Stewart's brother, and of course the Jewels. You know, I met the Jewels there. But now I knew of the Jewels because we all went to Roosevelt High School in Washington, D.C. And I knew that during the time that we were in high school, they had some local hits out and everything like that. And I admired them very much because they were great singers and had beautiful harmony. So it come one day, it came to Bo Diddley asking me, saying, "Martha, you know, I think that you should audition for the Jewels." And I said, "Why?" You know, he said, "Because one of the girls is leaving."
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the girls is leaving the four Jewels, and they're looking for another girl, and I think that you should audition for them. And I was like, "Oh, no. Those girls sing too good for me. I don't know if I could hang with them." Now, you know, I didn't believe I could sing that well.
Oh, okay.
But he felt that I would, out of my group, that I would be the best one to.
And he had an eye for talent, so and when he says something, you take it.
But you know, I was a little shy and everything, and so I did. But I auditioned for them as he told me to, you know, and I was just really worried that I wasn't going to work out and everything. So they had me to harmonize with them, and you know, they gave me parts to sing, and it was cool. So they told me they'll let me know in 2 or 3 days because they were auditioning other girls, you know.
All right.
I got a call the first of that next week, and it was Sandra Beers on the phone, and she said, "Martha?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Guess what?" I said, "Yeah, I know." And she said, "You made it.
Oh, you made it, kid.
And we would like for you to sing with us, you know." And I was like, "Yes!
Okay.
Really, really excited. And from there, I recorded with them, and we had we ended up having a local hit called Opportunity.
Yeah, Opportunity.
After meeting, now I gave the name wrong one time. I had a book signing, and I was talking about how we met our manager that ended up helping us to get this national hit out. His name was Smokey McAllister, not Smokey Robinson.
Oh, okay, all right.
So I apologize for the mistake, but, you know, don't blame it on my heart. Blame it on my age. My age.
And your age.
My age. And anyway, we met Smokey McAllister, and we ended up going to Newark, New Jersey and New York and started rehearsing and practicing, you know, because he was interested in working with us. He was this group called the Soul Twins. He was their manager, and we met them on a gig.
Uh-huh.
And he had asked us, you know, were we looking for a manager and everything, and at that time we were. We didn't have a manager at that time, so anyway, we hooked up with him, and we went to New York to learn these songs that he had for us. And believe it or not, at the rehearsal hall that we used to rehearse at, that was where the Parliaments
was her son as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the parliament.
George Clinton. Yeah,
okay. And let me tell you something. Fine and clean. All those guys had on suits and ties and processed hair. They were looking good. George Clinton is actually the one to sit at the piano and taught us this song, Opportunity.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so who wrote the song Opportunity? Who wrote it?
Gene Reed. I think that's his name. Gene Reed.
Okay.
But he was George Clinton and Gene Reed were the people basically in charge of that rehearsal hall and helping, and he was working with Dimension Records too.
Oh, okay.
So they taught us the song, and it was on Carole King's label, Dimensions.
Okay.
So it was, and I always, when I would see George Clinton, I would always ask him, Mr. Clinton, do you remember who I am? He said, of course I remember you. You're one of the jewels. And I taught you the song. So yeah, he remembered. And it was amazing to see him years later with the Parliament Funkadelics, because I didn't even recognize him with all the different color hair and the beards and the outfits and everything. But, you know, but I remember him helping us, and we recorded the song Opportunity. It became a national hit. That's how we started performing. We did a lot of performing in and around Washington, D.C. before we met Smokey McAllister. And we used to play places like on 14th Street. It was a club called the Birdland.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it was a lot of clubs up and down 14th Street that we used to work. And then we did talent shows, and they used to give sock hops, you could call it that, at the different theaters around Washington, D.C., the Tivoli Theater, and I think the theater that was downtown Washington, D.C., like around First Street Northwest, was a Sylvan Theater, and we had talent shows and sock hops at these places, you know, and it was a lot of
did y'all win? Local... You win any talent show?
No, not when I was with the Boettes, which Bo Diddley gave Ziola, Yvonne, and I that name, the Boettes. But we never won, but we were on a lot of them, you know.
So did you win it with the Jewels? Did y'all stop them?
The Jewels, that was a different thing. See, I moved up to the east.
Oh, okay.
I moved on up to the east side, and I finally got a piece of the pie. Yeah, so that was a different level. Like I said, the four Jewels were established already, and they had local hits out when I joined them.
So you were we're talking about being sitting in the blessings, and mm-hmm. you and I have had a conversation before that you cannot do things by yourself.
You cannot do things
and
by yourself.
You have to have people to support you. You had Bo Diddley.
Yes.
George Clinton.
Uh-huh.
And a whole lot of other people.
And through the years, and like I said, the advice from Paul Williams.
Yeah, Paul, yeah.
And that, you know, yes, it was a stepping stone, and you know, and I moved on up, and then while the Jewels and I, now we became the Jewels because once we went to New York and New Jersey with Smokey McAllister, and we recorded Opportunity. One of the girls had left, and we became the Jewels.
Uh-huh.
And Opportunity went out as, you know, the Jewels. And we started singing at different places and everything.
So would y'all open for people? Or?
Yes, we opened
who
up.
Who did y'all open? Who
oh, Jerry Butler.
Oh, you opened for Jerry Butler?
Yeah, Jerry Butler, the Impressions.
Oh, okay.
You know, one time it was Jerry Butler and the Impressions, and even when the Impressions left, we worked with them. Maxine Brown.
Oh, yeah,
Barbara Lewis.
Yeah, Barbara Lewis.
Mary Wells. One time we worked with Mary Wells and the Fiestas and the Diplomats and... You know, all those different groups. Wilson Pickett.
Wow.
Clay Tyson. Wow. Not Clay Tyson. What's the other? It was another comedian that was very popular, but he passed a long time ago. But you know, just many people like that.
So you were on the road,
Baby Washington.
You were on the road still a lot as the Jewels.
Yes,
but out of the Washington D.C. area.
Yeah, we did the before we met James Brown. We did the theater circuit. Mm-hmm. Which was playing at the Howard Theater, and then from there to the, what do they call it, in Baltimore?
I'm not remembering what it is.
Oh, gosh, I always forget this place.
It'll come back to you.
The Royal Theater.
The Royal Theater.
The Royal Theater, and then the Uptown Theater in Philadelphia, New York City, Apollo.
We never
played the Regal Theater before, not until we met James Brown.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's the Regal Theater?
Chicago.
That's right. Okay, Chicago. Yeah. So you never played it. So tell us then, you had all of that. How did you meet James Brown?
Okay, so having the song Opportunity as a national hit, that's, like I said, that's when we started traveling. So we were playing the Howard Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Our first encounter with the Godfather of Soul. And we were on stage, and we heard all this ruckus in the audience, and people, clapping and everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, we getting down on this stage. They love us. They like us, you know. Come to find out that the Godfather of Soul was in the audience.
Oh.
And that's where all the ruckus
that's
came
That's all
from.
The hoopla was about.
Yeah,
him.
It was about James Brown being in the audience. And so after that, after our show, we went off and we were sitting in our dressing room, and a knock came on the door. Who is it? It's James Brown. We said, who? We looked at each other, who? It's me, James Brown. Went to the door. We opened the door, and right there in the face.
In person.
In our face, right there. The Godfather.
Was he patting his hair?
1965. Oh,
okay.
And yeah, and we asked him, please come on in. He came in and went straight to the mirror.
And patting his hair.
You're really killed him out there. You're real good. I'm like, Lord have mercy, I can't believe this, you know.
Yeah.
What a blessing. And we could not believe it. Here is the biggest man in show business in our dressing room telling us how much he enjoyed our show. And so he talked to you, said, yeah, girls were really good, and he, you know, hoped to see us again. He wished us a lot of luck, and he was just smiling, looking in the mirror, and we were just like gazing at him like he was a piece of cake or something. You know? Didn't know what to say, just skinning and grinning, you know?
Skinning and grinning. Showing our teeth and our everything, right?
Yeah. So anyway, he said goodbye, told us, you know, he really enjoyed the show, to keep good work up. And about 4 or 5 months later, maybe less, we were at the Apollo Theater. We were performing at the Apollo Theater, and the very same thing happened. You know, the audience went into this big wild, yay, clapping and everything, and everything. And I'm again thinking like, oh, they like us. They really like us. James Brown in the audience.
James Brown again.
Yep. And sure enough, he came backstage to our dressing room. And it's good to see ya. I'm really killing him. And he told us, you know, that he wanted us to join his review. And he'd like for us to come and see him when he plays Cars BGS. If we know where it was. And that was right outside of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, come out there, because he'd like for us to join his review and we could talk to his manager and everything like that, you know, set up a contract and all that. So when we got home, we all told our parents about it, that we wanted to join. And we did, you know, we met him out at Sparrow's Beach, Cars Beach, and he gave us a contract. We took it home. We had to get a permission with our parents.
Oh, yeah, because y'all were underage.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then, plus, I had a child by that time.
Oh, okay.
You know? And, you know, so they were excited about it, too, because, of course, they knew who James Brown was and where he was. He was at his peak in 1966.
Yeah.
we joined them, and we joined them, worked with them for a year and a half or so, and then the girls decided, you know, they were ready to go back home and come off the road, because we would be on the road 2 and 3 months at a time at working, and I thought it was great. You know, it was kind of money that I never thought that I would make. And so I went to him and said, you know, Mr. Brown, I don't want to go back home. I don't want to go home. I'd like to continue working with you. Is it any way possible that can happen?
I ain't fired. You stay right here with me. You be my personal background singer. I don't know why the girls want to go back home. But you stay right here with me.
I said, yes, sir.
And he stayed there for 32 years.
Well, I stayed there. He for about 5 months into being out there on my own with him, he told me, Miss, I'm going to send you home.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to find another girl.
Oh, all right.
And so I said, okay. He said, as soon as you find her and you rehearse her and everything, you can come back out on the road. You know, I hurry up and found somebody. I was like, I ain't staying home that long and miss my chance, and he might find somebody else. Yes. So I went home, which I was still living in Washington, D.C. I met this girl named Binky Arrington. Her name was Mercedes Arrington, and she ended up working with me, going out on the road, and she was excited by it. She didn't really believe that I was with James Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, I told her I was looking for a singer. And she said, well, who do you, you know, sing with? I said, I'm a background singer for James Brown. She said, yeah, right. I said, well, you'll find out if you become, you know, if you want to work with me. Anyway, I rehearsed her. She went out on the road with me. And she stayed out there for about 2 or 3 years. And then she ended up, you know, quitting and staying at home. I stayed out there for years after that.
Yeah, for years you were out there for a long time.
Yeah, and I backed around with him for by myself most of the time in the 70s. And then Lynn Collins, well, Vicki Anderson was out there when I first went with James Brown, when I first joined the Review. Vicki Anderson was his solo artist.
So tell us, you, speaking of solos, tell us about the record that you made, Summertime, with Mr. Brown.
Yes.
That's a beautiful song.
It is, and that was recorded in 1979. Mm-hmm. That's when he decided that he wanted to produce an album on me, because Sal Soul Records wanted to feature me on mm-hmm. that. So Mr. Brown produced that album along with a couple other gentlemen that wrote the songs and everything. I wasn't very happy about that album because I wasn't expecting it to be my solo uh-huh. album. I was told to go to Atlanta, fly into Atlanta, and be at the studio at a certain time and date. And I automatically thought that I was going there to do background work behind Mr. Brown. Uh-huh. Come to find out, it was my session, and I had to record 9 or 10 songs in one day.
9 or 10 songs in one day.
In one day.
No rehearsal?
No rehearsal.
No rehearsal.
No rehearsal. Had no idea, nothing about the songs that I was never saying. I didn't even know it was my session.
Oh.
And I was hurt very much because I didn't think that it turned out well. And up to this day, I'm still surprised when somebody meets me on the road or at one of my gigs with that album. It's like, you got this album? Wow. You know, and I didn't ever think that I would ever see it after a while, you know, after it was released. It was released in 1979, and it really didn't do that well because it got caught up in the shuffle of music changing from disco back into the soul.
Back into the soul.
And to live bands and everything. So I feel like it got caught up in that, and it was put out with a lot of help, but it wasn't really pushed.
Okay.
As I felt that it could have been. If
the publicity around it.
Yes.
The publicity around it.
So, and the RCA Records and Sal Soul Records really did a good job in helping me and trying to get it out there, but it was still lost in the shuffle because of the change.
So,
disco to soul.
So all those years that you were with the Godfather Soul, Mr. James Brown, mm-hmm. what would you say that you learned from those 32 years. I know you have this great book, by the way, which is available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny cat, Miss High.
Yes,
my
right.
32
That's...
years with James Brown is what yes. the book is called. If you're listening out there and you want to have a good read, go get the book. So what did you glean from those years with James Brown that helped to the continuation of you being a sister sitting in the blessings? What was the blessing from having worked with Mr. Brown?
Being on the stage with this magnificent genius and how he handled the entertainment and giving the people what they want, knowing how to do this. I admired Mr. Brown for his knowledge in entertaining people.
In entertaining people.
Yes. And
he loved his audience. He cared about his audience.
Yes, he did. And that was his main goal, is to entertain, and he knew how to do it. He knew what to sing, what not to sing. And I always tell people how he would be maybe even on his knees singing a slow song. And if he could hear people talking in the audience, he would immediately stop that song in the middle of any part of it, stop it and go into something fast. And he got his audience back. But he was a great entertainer. He always had this beautiful smile on his face. He knew how
and
he
dressed.
Oh,
he dressed, yes. And everybody would, with him dressed.
And he would change. Yes, he was very, very particular about how we all looked on the stage. Mr. Brown used to even design the singers that were singing with me. He always designed. He designed most of our gowns that we wore on stage.
So you learned a lot from their process over those 32 years.
Yes. Of how to entertain
and be a polished professional.
Yes,
because he was so professional and a perfectionist.
Exactly,
and that helped him to be who he was.
Yes,
and he brought you along and anybody else that was along.
Yeah, and I remember him even asking me one time. He said, "Miss, why you watch me so much on stage?" I said, "Well, that's what I'm supposed to do." I said, "I wanna do the right thing, and I wanna make the right moves and sing properly and everything, you know." And I said, "This, where is he getting all this energy from?
Yeah.
How does he do it?"
Mr. Dynamite, you know.
Mr. Dynamite, but he had that drive.
Yes.
To do this, to entertain, to satisfy his audience.
Well, we're going to come back with our third segment, and we're going to take that gem you just gave us and go into where you are now.
Okay.
We thank you for joining us for this segment.
It's
and
we'll
be right back after this brief pause.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our final leg of this journey. We have been journeying with Miss Martha High, the goddess of soul. We started out in Victoria, Virginia.
Yes, we did.
You know, we started
my wonderful hometown.
Yes, yeah.
My birthplace.
And then we were in Washington, D.C., where she became along with the Jewels. And then she went out on the road, was going the theater circuit to different cities, Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Not Chicago, wasn't in there.
No, Chicago wasn't in there before James Brown. But after we joined Mr. Brown, we ended up doing the theater circuit again. So we went to Chicago with him at the Regal Theater.
And also, too, while she's doing all these traveling for all of those years as a backup singer and a lot of other things. I think you told me you fixed his hair.
Yeah, it came a time when I first joined Mr. Brown. Bobby Bennett, one of the famous Flames, was his hairstylist
mm-hmm.
at that time. And he was with Mr. Brown, had been with Mr. Brown long before I got with him. But anyway, then when I left during the time to get this other singer
uh-huh.
to join me, that's when I came back, well, Bobby Bennett was gone. There was no Flames anymore. It was just Bobby Bird with Mr. Brown at that time. And a gentleman by the name of Henry Stallings from New York City, actually from Augusta, Georgia, was doing Mr. Brown's hair.
Okay.
And, I mean, he was the best. He was amazing. Everybody thought that James Brown's head was a wig or a weave at that time, but it wasn't. It was his natural hair. you know, but Mr. Stallings was a fantastic hairstylist. And he made Mr. Brown's hair look like brand new money. I mean, actually.
Brand new money.
And I used to watch him too, you know, because Mr. Brown would call me in his dressing room sometimes and talk to me and everything. Mr. Stallings would be doing his hair, but he was a fantastic hairstylist. After, well, a little before he left, and times when Mr. Brown was at home, and I was living in Augusta, Georgia at the time, or Atlanta, Georgia, and I was down that way, so he would call me and ask me to do his hair.
So, you know, what I hear you saying, the reason why I wanted you to expand on that,
mm-hmm.
because you also were multi-talented, and the things that you got to do besides singing,
yeah.
recruiting other singers as well, training other people to be a part
exactly.
of what Mr. Brown would require because he had high standards.
Mm-hmm.
So you did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at one time you told me you have designed some gowns as
yes,
well
uh-huh.
and his hair.
Right.
So you did multiple things.
Yes, and I was a payroll master at one time.
Wow.
Yes.
So
yes.
you had all these different talents that came through with him, which we're now going to move forward to Martha High, who she is now and how she's expanded and built upon it to have her own growing and vibrant career right here in Europe.
Well, yes, and I'm grateful, I'm thankful. I give God all the praises, all the praises. Because when I left Mr. Brown in the year of 2000, I was at the point of saying, okay, you know, like, can I really sing by myself or can I not, you know? I mean, I did solo on his show. You know, I was his solo artist a few times, at different times. But Mr. Brown always wanted me to be with him, always wanted to stay with him. But I wanted to adventure out, as you know, they say, mm-hmm. spread your wings.
Yeah, spread your wings.
So after I left Mr. Brown in 2000, I joined immediately, joined Maceo Parker.
Yes.
And I worked with him for 16 years. And I really, really enjoyed that, and I'm thankful that I had the chance to work with him because he was a little more open to allowing me to do things for myself, you know. And I told him that I had a band, and I was working with him, and he said, "Miss Hyde, that's fine. If you have to go out on the road on your own, just let me know ahead of time so I can fill in." So that was the agreement, and I was able to do more to find myself as far as my music is concerned. You know, I end up having my own band in Europe, and I started working more in Europe than I did in the States, and which that's something that I would love to do is to come home and have a chance to work in the States, some parts of the States. But anyway, now I'm situated in Europe because I work so much. I work more in Europe. And when I left Maceo Parker in 2016, that's when I actually decided to come out here because I lost my mother about three years before. Yeah, I think 3 years before, 2 years before I left Maceo Parker. And I just I lived in France before, and I just wanted to come back to Europe to see what I could get going for myself. So now I have my latest album is called Tribute to My Soul Sisters, which I recorded with the Osaka Monorail from Japan, from Osaka, Japan. And then I have an album out called Singing for the Good Times, with an Italian royal family band that I work with, yes. And I'm very, very, you know, I'm excited working about these different bands and having these different projects because each group that I work with, we all have a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
I also have, I'm working with my wonderful trio, the Soul Cookers. I'm just... I've had a great experience with them. I get the chance to sing jazz and blues and gospel and funk.
So you cover a wider gambit of music now.
Yes,
and you
yes.
can do what you, because I know you make up your own playlists and mm-hmm. everything, what you're going to sing and how mm-hmm. you're going to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you talking earlier in a discussion we were having about how you like to get the audience involved. Mm-hmm. So the showmanship, yes, and the entertainment part of this.
I owe it all to James Brown.
Yeah, to James Brown, yes.
Especially the Godfather of Soul, and also to Maceo, because Maceo is a great entertainer too.
Okay, all of that.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was able to actually spread my wings when I got with Maceo, because Maceo was very open and...
So tell people who Maceo is, because some people may not...
Maceo Parker is the gentleman that James Brown said, Maceo, I want you to blow. Maceo. Ow, Maceo.
So he was in the band. He was...
Absolutely, absolutely. He was one of the... gentleman that missed.
Was he an original? Was he an original member of JB's?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
So one of the things we talked about, now you're here. Mm-hmm. What role has your faith and your trust? We're going back to the trust again. Played in you making decisions of, you know, because you made some great big changes. You know what I'm saying?
Decision that I made to be here is because I walk by faith.
Walk by faith.
I walked by faith. I prayed on this. I wanted to come back. I planned this for 3 years to move back to Europe.
You had a vision.
Yes. I didn't know where I was going to go. I thought I was going to go back to France because I love Bordeaux. Mm-hmm. And I had a wonderful band of the Shaolin Temple Defenders that I worked with there. But traveling back and forth and working all parts of Europe, when I started working in parts of Spain and I came to this part of Spain, Malaga, and I saw the light. I saw the beautiful light that was shining down on this particular part of Spain. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, this place is beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's sunshine and there's a beautiful feeling that this is where I should be. And I prayed on it, and I said, I really want to move back. And Lord, if I could come over here, I don't know how it is to live here, but I'm gonna do this.
The vision.
And the Lord has provided me, mm-hmm, ever since I've been here. I'm so grateful and so thankful for all that I have and done and my projects that I have going now. It's all because... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of my faith.
Your
and
faith.
My belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, when I first came over here, I was 3 months without work, and I panicked a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then I also realized that, wait a minute, mm-hmm, all I need to do is talk to God, mm-hmm, talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I told him. And I told him my desires and wanting to do this and do that. And let me tell you, the main and the most beautiful thing is to recognize when God is blessing you. Mm-hmm. To recognize that the things that you pray for, the things that you talk to him about, that they start happening. You can see.
Yeah.
You can see his work. You realize and you need to know and realize that you are not the one that's making them footsteps, mm-hmm, in the sand. Mm-hmm. Those, mm-hmm, are Jesus' steps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's carrying you.
Carrying you.
And every night I thank him for carrying me for all these 74 years.
74 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to tell you, Miss High, I put a picture on Facebook today, and someone, well, actually Josie, asked me, you know, she looks so good. Was that Martha? I said, yeah, that was Martha. Did you saw in the picture? That was Martha, because she, you know, she was talking about how great you look.
Oh, thank
and not
you.
Only do you look great, your energy level, your zest and zeal for life, you have this aliveness that some people at where you are, they've lost it. Mm-hmm. You know, they give up on having new desires, mm-hmm, or adventuring out. I admire your tenacity, mm-hmm, and I admire your faith and your belief and your trust in God, that there's more to life.
Oh,
there's
is. Oh,
so much more.
And he will give you all that he feels that you should have. And you just have to wait on him. You have to wait on
patience.
Him. Patience, and you need to, that's the patience, the trust in God, and giving him and letting him come in. And he's going to give you all your desires.
The desires of your heart.
The desires of your heart.
That's what he promised, right?
Because God loves us.
Yes.
And his children. And he takes care of his children.
He takes care, and he always has our backs.
Yes,
so now she's here. She just came back off tour. Was it Wednesday?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You just Wednesday. Came back. And where did you go? Where were you?
I was in Poland, Warsaw, Poland, Vienna, Austria. Oh, my goodness.
So you were at a lot of different spots.
Yes.
And then you went to Rome or Italy.
Yes, I was. And then I had a couple of days in Rome, too. I had to finish. I'm recording a new album, and it's supposed to be coming out in June. I'm recording a new album with the Italian royal family. And I'm very excited about that because that's a different sound altogether than the other groups that I've worked with. And it's a beautiful thing because it's all genres of music that I've experienced with the different bands, you know, and I love that. And I'm happy about it.
Yes.
And I'm excited about my new album. So I was in Rome, finished recording the album, and we're all happy and we celebrate and we're excited about it and looking forward to coming out. Also, you know, I'm working different projects. And I'm about to go into studio with the Soul Cookers, my trio, and we are going to get down and do our thing as well.
Wonderful.
So, yes.
So how, being here in Europe, how do you communicate with your family that lives in the States?
Oh, excuse me. Uh-huh. Let me not forget, uh-huh. I have a Spanish band also.
Oh, okay.
With a wonderful gentleman that's my band leader, Roberto Cantero.
Okay.
And he's a wonderful saxophone player, so I have a great Spanish band. And if all of you listeners, if you can come up with a nice name for my Spanish group and I, we would love to, and we would mm-hmm. enjoy.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge you all out there. So
that would be great.
So if you all... And if you all have a name, could you put it on your Facebook page?
Absolutely.
So you can put it on her Facebook page.
And Yamaja, there's so many beautiful things that's happening. God is good, and I give him all the praises. And thank you. Thanks, because I am also working with one of their Spain's biggest entertainers, Javier Ojeda.
Mm-hmm.
And I have performed with him at his... a record release. It was just wonderful. I thank him for inviting me to be there with him, and we had a wonderful time. And I'm getting ready to do some festivals with him in the summertime. Looking forward to that.
So things are still expanding.
Yes, and I want to give credit to these young men, musicians, fantastic musicians and singers, for inviting me to be a part of what they're doing here in Spain. They have welcomed me, and I am so appreciative. I'm also going to be on an album of Julian Maeso album. I did a gospel song with him. So I am so blessed. I'm so thankful.
And we go right back where we started, ladies and gentlemen. Sister, she's a sister sitting in the blessings.
Yes, indeed.
And the blessings still keep pouring in from different avenues, working with different people.
Yes.
And one of the things that I see and I know for sure with Miss High is this. You know, if you stay stagnant in one place, you don't grow. And you have to get outside your comfort zone and take a risk. But take God with you first.
Absolutely.
And look what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, you get those wings to fly, and there's a certain freedom and joy that comes with that.
Yes.
And you are open to still growing and still learning. And like I said, a lot of people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
You've been blessed tremendously all the way from Victoria, Virginia, to now living here.
And I have wonderful friends in Victoria, Virginia. They stay in touch with me. They They hit me up on Facebook, and I'm forever grateful for that, for my friends and family, you know, that supports me and keep up with me.
See, that's what I was asking about before, about your family support.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know you have a beautiful granddaughter and grandbabies.
Yes, and great grandbabies, and I love it.
Yeah. So family, and one of the things, feel people, please listen to this. With an open mind, Miss High, even though she has this career, has not forgotten about her family.
Oh,
the family is important, just as God is important. So she has her priorities straight, is what I want to say.
Yes.
And sometimes people get out with where you are and mm-hmm. with your level of success, and they forget that.
Well, I can't forget it because I didn't do it by myself, you know. And if it wasn't for the support of my family and friends, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, because your mother and father were doing it when you first started.
Exactly. First and foremost, I give all the praises to God.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can't do things on your own. You mm-hmm. can't do nothing on your own, mm-hmm. you know. And you can't forget mm-hmm. where you come from and how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
So my audience listening to my music and supporting me and giving me strength to keep and continue and things like that. And I appreciate it. And I let them know. I got to let them know because, like I said, I didn't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I know where my blessings are coming from. And God has a way of sending your blessings through other people.
Yes, through other people. That's the way they come. So, Ms. High, what would you like to leave with? We've gone through this. What would you like to leave with the audience that is listening to you? What other gem, pearl of wisdom would you like to leave with them?
Well, you know, I'm not ever going to stray away from this. And I'm always going to tell them to believe in the Lord. Take your troubles and your talk to Him and get the guidance that's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is open up your heart and show love to others. Be kind to one another.
Be kind. Yeah.
To one another.
Yeah.
Everyone in this world is not against you or anything like that. Be kind. God is love.
God is love. The gospel in one word is love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good advice for any one of you that's listening. Not only advice, but it's a way of living when you're kind. It's from your heart.
Right.
You know, a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Saying hello. Saying a nice, sweet. Because I call everybody beloved or beautiful. And people don't get that reinforcement. Or say, oh, you look good in what you have on. Or your smile is brighter today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, that's when we'll be in the light.
That's right. You know, and I think it all comes from prayers and meditation and everything like that. And if you do things like, if you pray and you meditate and everything, that's going to give you, it's going to ease your mind. It's going to give you strength and you know, you won't be stressed out. You can deal with your today, and it will take you through today in a way where you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You can see what's going to come for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you take love and kindness when you leave your house, you know, you're going to be all right. But if you leave with a stressful mind and a mind of don't give a darn.
You're right.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
You're going to be in a chaotic mood all day.
And drama.
Yes, indeed.
And you attract that stuff to you.
Yes,
like
absolutely.
When you go out like that, your negative attracts their negativity.
So get all that stress and craziness away from you and move forward with love and kindness.
Moving forward with love and kindness. Well, you know what? I really want to just say thank you for doing this and being a part of Josie's Inspirational mm-hmm. Network here on Finding My Way Radio.
Yes.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. And y'all have to remember now, we're in Spain, and she has made us welcome. 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 And, you know, we don't get the opportunity to fellowship, but Miss High is our friend, and we fellowship with her, and she's been the greatest hostess since we've been here with her.
Oh, it's been such a blessing and pleasure to have you here in my home and in Malaga. It's been great. I love Malaga, and I'm so happy that you have come here and enjoyed yourself. Really, I am.
And we want to thank also my partner, Elroy Boyd III, who we can't,
Professor Roy Boyd, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. And as we started out with sisters sitting in the blessings, what I would like for you all to remember that we are all, you're either a sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, or S-I-S-T-A-H, or a sister. You can be all three. But remember to be a blessing to someone, to be the light and not the lampshade, as Larry says, as Larry always tells us, to be the light and not the lampshade.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
And go out and spread the kindness, spread the joy, spread the peace, and remembering that prayer is the key, and contemplation and meditation and being centered in it is what I heard Miss High talk about that has guided her through her whole career to where she is now. And let her be an example. This is Women's History Month, and we have sat here with the goddess of soul, and we're honoring her being a woman and what she has contributed to the music industry on her own, with Mr. Brown, with the Jewels, whomever she's with, she's shared her talents with the world. And she is truly, and we recognize and appreciate her being a sister sitting in the blessing. So with that, what we know now, with her being a sister, as you are, as I am, we can all dance, and we can celebrate, and we can appreciate the grace of God.
The grace of God.
The mercy of God.
Praise the Lord.
The bounty of God.
Absolutely.
And the blessings which God has so graciously bestowed upon us individually and collectively.
Yes.
And then we can dance like David danced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David danced, and Fred Hammond has that song that I can dance like David. I love that song.
All right.
So we can dance and we can celebrate. And we can be who we are because we know that we are made in love, by love, for love. And with that, remembering that we are all sitting in the blessings right where you are, above you, below you, and all around, I want to leave that with you. Go in love, be in love, and most of all, abide in that love. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Love, Light, and Positivity, where we will have once more have some everything to show you and share with you. Who knows where we might be the next time, or who knows we'll be in we'll be talking to. But right now, go out and make it a good day, and God bless you all.
That's right, that's right. Put those hands together all over this place. We come to praise him, we come to praise him and lift him up. Because he's worthy to be praised.
The Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart. like David sang. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart. I will sing like David sang.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.